Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like habits of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. Want to tell the story of your small business? Send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. That's gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Today, how small businesses are feeling the pinch of the prolonged partial government shutdown. That story after this. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about homeowners or renters insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. And there's so much more Geico could help with. Plus, don't forget the discounts. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's geico.com. Far away from the behemoth federal office complexes in Washington, D.C., small towns and cities with workforces dependent on government jobs are beginning to feel the pinch of one of the longest shutdowns in history. More from Joel Achenbach, staff writer at The Washington Post. Joel, what have you found?
Well, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to have a big federal presence, typically, if you're a small town, because what you have is the stability of the federal government. It gives you a buffer against economic downturns. We see that here in D.C., but that stability suddenly goes out the window during a shutdown, and people are worried in some of these places that have a big federal presence. They're worried about, well, how long is this thing going to last, you know, and how is this going to affect my budget and my ability to, you know, buy a new car, that kind of thing.
All right, so just north of Salt Lake City is Ogden, Utah. Explain what's happening there.
Well, Ogden is a place that has a big IRS presence, and it has a U.S. Forest Service presence, and they're both shut down. You understand that some of the government is funded and some isn't. And if you're unlucky enough to have a big presence of federal office workers, you know, federal workers, federal agencies, from these shutdown agencies, like the Commerce is shut down, the EPA is shut down, Homeland Security is shut down. Now, what they do, and the Justice Department is shut down. If one place that I looked into was West Virginia. You may remember, Gordon, when Senator Robert Byrd was in the Senate for 51 years, he brought in a lot of money to West Virginia. So there are places where you have big federal office complexes out, you know, off of I-79 between Morgantown and Clarksburg. This is a part of the country that's, you know, economically depressed. You know, the coal industry is in decline. Some of the old glass factories from way back in the day, or shoe factories, those things have closed decades ago. So what do? You bring in the federal government, and you have NASA, and you have the FBI has a huge fingerprint lab near Clarksburg, West Virginia. Well, that's closed. I mean, actually, it's not closed. It's affected by the furlough because it doesn't have any funding. So the people who are working without pay, and a lot of people are not working at all. No one's getting paid. So that has an impact on these relatively small communities.
Wow. We're speaking with Joel Achenbach, staff writer at The Washington Post. He's written a piece about U.S. towns with federal workers kind of bracing for this kind of extended shutdown period. How about just something simple like the impact on restaurants?
Well, sure. And keep one thing in mind, that when we talk about the federal government, and we don't do a great job sometimes in the news media explaining this, a lot of people are not federal employees. They're contractors. In fact, there's been an effort over the last couple of decades to shift a lot of the government functions, such as sort of back office functions, IT and technical support, and to shift a lot of that stuff away from the federal government in terms of, you know, a full-time civil servant who works for the government, shift that to private contractors. Well, what happens when a shutdown is hundreds of thousands of those private contractors get stop work orders. They're never going to get that money back. So this is actually going to hurt them. You know, right now, even if Congress restores the pay of the federal workers who are full-time, the private contractors are already facing a situation where they're going to have less money coming in. And that affects, you know, you mentioned restaurants. I talked to someone in Fairmont, West Virginia. They've had a restaurant there for 50 years. You know, so far they haven't seen a lot of impact, but they're bracing for it because people, you know, want to know that this is going to end soon. And right now there's no end in sight because of the political dynamics of it, in which this whole issue has become so totally polarized along the lines of whether or not to build the wall. You know, the president made his promise. The Democrats say no way, and you know it's hard to see what the script is for resolving it. So, yeah, if you have an auto dealership or a restaurant or any kind of retail operation, it's concerning. And there are some places, like our reporter in Ogden, Utah, saw that the business was way down in that area around where all the government offices are. So the people who normally serve lunch to lots and lots of federal office workers, but those buildings are dark. So, you know, it's a hardship for those folks.
Yeah. And then the trickle down is tax revenue is not coming into, say, a local town. So perhaps, you know, potholes don't get fixed because the tax revenue is lacking.
And the uncertainty of it, I think one of the things that we've tried to note is that one of the things the government does well is schedule. Typically, I mean, it's all a bureaucracy, and more or less the trains are supposed to run on time, and so if they say something is going to have to happen by the 1st of February, usually, you know, that's a firm deadline that everyone signed on to. Well, now there's all this uncertainty, and it's kind of contrary to the normal way that the bureaucracy is supposed to function. So, for example, when are people going to get their tax refunds? When is I mean, one of our stories the other day talked about there could be delays even in processing all the kind of paperwork that the government does. People don't realize the many little ways that the federal government, in a kind of bureaucratic way, greases the wheels of the economy. And so you have, you know, people who are waiting for approval of, you know, the ability to export some product to another country, and they can't do it. So the whole, it kind of, there's sand in the gears of the economy right now, and I think that is going to create pressure, to have a mixed metaphor there. It's going to create pressure to resolve this thing because people are going to be like, you know, I can't run my business if I can't get approval for this next thing from the agency that is required to approve it. And we've seen it actually also with the E-Verify immigration system, where people use that system and rely on it to make sure that when they hire someone, that person is legal, yeah. You know, is in the country legally. That system's down. So it creates inefficiency, uncertainty, and I think that's going to cause a lot of political pressure to resolve this.
Thanks, Joel. That is Joel Achenbach, staff writer at The Washington Post. Reminder, by the way, the Small Business Report is found on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. That's also where you can hear our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Again, if you'd like to share your small business story, I'd like to hear it. Send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to The Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.